Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
We're not hitting the lottery in the weather department, though.
No, we aren't. I was going to ask Garth what he would do if he won the lottery.
Nothing. Because it's only like $120 million after the government gets their hot little hands on it.
Yeah, and that's
it.
No way that's
can't
enough.
Can't do much of that. Huh? Can't do
but if I did get it, I would go to a country without any kind of extradition.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
The age of consent was 12 for boys only.
Oh, the implication God. Is, I'm going to go somewhere, commit a bunch of murders.
Yeah.
He meant where there's no taxes.
Tax.
Do you think some people extradition.
Just hear right. words and use them without really knowing what they
when
mean?
When you say there's no extradition, you're hoping that they don't find all the corpses.
Yeah.
Those children's corpses strewn around your hotel room.
Well, no, I want to roofie a chick in a hot tub in the Hollywood Hills and bang her in the keys to her 14, and then...
No extradition.
No extradition.
The pianist. This portion was brought to you by Roman Polanski's... 14?
Now, wait a minute.
The pianist.
Do we put Roman Polanski on things?
No.
We don't put, you know, but brought to you by Roman... And, you know, a Roman Polanski joint.
I don't think so.
That's the last thing he said to the 14-year-old.
He has a great line.
All right, but
his line of Quaaludes, have you tried them? They're amazing.
Oh, really? I've tried his roofies, but not his ludes. Thomas, I'm going to ask you a controversial question.
Yep.
Speaking of horror movies, Puppet yeah. Master, The Littlest Reich
it's is coming out
on video right. on demand. That is next Friday, August 17th. Week.
But right now, Dog Days is out, which
Dog
is amazing.
Days.
Brought to you by the state's Ken Marino.
Mm. Oh, Ken
the
Marino.
Guy, he's in the James Baby Doll Dixon sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. Love that. God, I just don't. So anyway.
Yeah.
On your movie poster
mm-hmm.
for Puppet Master, you have
yeah,
to
yeah.
choose.
Yes.
From Roman Polanski.
or
mm-hmm.
from M. Night Shyamalan.
Ooh, okay.
What's going to do more damage to the box office?
Even on the M. Night movies, I feel like sometimes it just, like, you have to find out later that it's an M. Night movie now.
Yeah. Right. So yeah. that's what I'm saying.
The lead.
What's going to hurt
yeah.
What's gonna hurt the box office more? M. Night's name or Roman?
Oh,
or what about M. Night Polanski? Like, we take the box
by the way,
Roman Shyamalan.
When you start DJing in Vegas... M. Night Polanski just is
yeah,
your
that's
when you're
me.
When you're playing the Hakkasan nightclub.
Yeah,
M. Night Polanski.
Hey man, I got news for you. M. Night's back in a big way. Split.
Yeah.
That was one of the most profitable movies of all time.
And what now was? Glass on that on
wait,
the back of that.
Split really? Cost like $6 million and made like $150 million.
Okay. What? Okay. I didn't even know
his
Split.
Last, his last movie.
Split.
It was pretty good.
A guy who's got like six
multiple
personalities.
Many.
It says 27 on the box, but if you're counting at home. It was
the only featured a handful.
I felt slightly ripped off because it's like one guy's like this guy, yep. and then there's like, oh, that's like the upset lady. It's a delight. It is a pretty and it does have a huge twist. Damn it, it's actually pretty good.
It's a setup for the movie that's about to come out.
You almost said
that.
What happened.
I didn't even know.
Some crazy shit happens at the end of that movie. That's
well,
actually
M. Night's
kind of amazing.
Back. All right, let's get him on that Puppet Master poster then. Pronto. A lot of alliteration there. So this one, I just watched a trailer and it's sort of very gory, but very mm-hmm. sort of surreal. Mm-hmm. But it didn't seem like there was a lot of you being funny in it. It seemed like
it's
it was you being
movie.
Serious.
No,
in
the
it.
In the Puppet Master film, my general policy is when I'm, you can tell when I'm trying to like get an award
mm-hmm.
from my acting, and when you
oh,
see
yeah.
that movie, like weirdly in Dog Days coming out, I'm just a goof. Straight mm-hmm. up goof. I got the mustache. I'm doing the classic goof stuff you love me for.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Puppet
I love
Master
for Baby Doll Dixon, but yes.
Puppet Master where People are literally just getting ripped apart and sawed in their head, and just every really disgusting things happen. I'm trying to be real sincere and heavy in that one. Yeah,
he's got a beard. Yeah.
I see now it's a serious role, Robin Williams.
Yeah,
in that movie, every point I'm like, what if this movie where puppets are drilling through people's stomachs and like ripping their eyeballs out? I'm like, what if I'm trying to just win an Independent Spirit Award for it? So that's what I'm doing.
I got to tell you, you got my vote just from watching the trailer. By the way, this half of the show brought to you by MedMen. You go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And also Geico at Geico.com. Thomas has entered some rarefied air, which is beloved at TMZ.
It's an interesting one, yeah.
TMZ has a kind of a relationship with the celebrities, like you think about your shop teachers from junior high. Like, oh, Mr. Mendes, that guy, fuck that guy. Mr. Gage, he was cool. We smoked pot. He would smoke pot with us. It's, you know, like that. And so if you're on the happy side of TMZ, like Thomas is, you can do no wrong. Like when you pop on the screen, they'll go, oh, we caught up to Thomas Lennon outside. And they go, everyone starts laughing, hasn't even said anything yet. But then,
that's a shitload of work, by the way. I'll tell you.
Puts out, man.
This was, I want to teach a seminar down at the airport about how to deal with TMZ.
You should do workshop some material for TMZ.
But and I forget what it was. It was the first time I was at, there's always somebody at the Grove from TMZ with a camera, and they always want to get you to say some stupid shit.
Right.
Like they'll literally walk up to you and be like, "Oh my god, don't you hate don't you hate Ariana Grande's tattoo?"
Right.
And you're like, "I don't know who that is."
And then you go, "Yeah, that's lame." And then they'll go, "That's her fiance's dead father who died 9/11." All right, and then you convince her.
Adam Carolla's at the Grove shitting on
the graves of heroes. Yeah, that's how.
So
that's how it goes.
That's how it always works.
Right.
And at one point, so a couple years back, 4 or 5 years ago at the Grove, one of the TMZ guys came at me. And do you guys know this fact? There's a guy who does this. There is a guy, a scuba diver, and who studies great white sharks. And he goes into places with great white sharks. He's got weights on and he's down in like the bottom of the ocean. And he will run at great white sharks when they swim towards him. You can look it up. There's footage of this dude. And the sharks swim away.
Mm-hmm.
Because a great white shark has never met anything that comes
at it
ever, and neither have the TMZ guys. So
nice,
the
nice
secret is when you see them, you lock eyes, you go straight for them, and I start asking them some shit. I'm like, "Hey, genius," or I confess to some weird thing.
They love whenever Thomas pops up. You know, the whole room will just start laughing when he pops up. Like, "Oh, we're on in bated breath." Now, the biggest slight ever quietly that can happen to a celebrity on TMZ.
Did I get it? Oh, no.
No, it's never happened to Thomas Lennon.
Yet.
Never.
Not the great Thomas Lennon.
No, it will not happen to you is when they'll do a thing where they'll go, "We caught Laird Hamilton at LAX," and then they'll go, "Laird, where'd you get that hat?" And then they'll cut back to the room and they'll have a discussion about hats.
Right.
Which is Laird shit wasn't good enough
we
to
had nothing.
Air, but the topic of where to get that hat will spawn
that has legs.
Product for us. This has legs.
Yeah.
That's the worst. If you're a comedian, not that Laird is, but if you're a comedian, that'd be the biggest slap in the face.
It's the worst.
You just went off of you and they had an in-house discussion about
It's the worst thing that could ever happen. Yeah.
Yes.
The
worst.
I think there's a bounty. I think if the
worldwide,
guys get footage on the show,
including parts of South Africa,
on the TMZ show,
I
think those guys get like a bonus. The camera guys,
They
must, because like they'll hunt me down places.
Well, you're gold.
I think I'm a guaranteed like $30 bonus.
Well, don't they only get paid for what they sell to the show?
Oh, so it's like, you know, there used to be restaurants like that where the waiters bought the food and they had to sell it to you.
Really?
It was insanity.
Four walled a restaurant.
People used to do that.
I mean, it's like the whiskey used to book the doors. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to play the whiskey, you four wall it. You buy the whiskey
on
a Wednesday night and you're on the hook for the tickets.
Yeah.
That's so romantic.
Wow.
So the now in a weird way, they're going to have to deal with you because you're a TMZ darling.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the whole Me Too movement stuff comes out with you on the cover this week's episode. Now they're kind of mixed, right?
Because
on one hand, we do want to throw him under the bus for that, but he is a darling around here.
I have kicked two of their photographers in the nuts.
I've seen that.
But I told them I was going to do it. I said, look, I'm going to do it. Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was pretty light, to be honest.
Let me ask you some TMZ etiquette.
Absolutely.
I had the most surreal TMZ experience, which is Thomas hasn't heard. I haven't told the story in a while, but I had this thing where I was sitting on my bed. I was watching TV with my wife on a Wednesday night a million years ago, and Sex and the City 2, the advertisement came on.
They go to Abu Dhabi.
Yes, they go to Abu Dhabi. Right.
They're going
to
rock the shit out of Abu Dhabi.
They did, and they did. And it said, this was like in end of April, and they're like, sneak previews coming to theaters May 27th. Well, guess whose birthday is May 27th?
The wife.
Mine.
Yeah.
But guess who's a comedian?
Yes.
The wife.
So I had to announce, well, I guess we know how we're going to be celebrating my birthday this year, which... Again, whether you're somebody who heard something secondhand on the podcast or my wife, understand the context. Comedian.
This is hilarious. Yeah.
I'm making a joke here. But.
I'm making jokes over here.
I don't like to do much for my birthday. Maybe go out to dinner or something. But I don't think about it. And then we get to a day or two before my birthday, and I say to my wife, so what do you want to do? You want to go out with the kids, or you want to have some dinner, or what do you want to do? And she said, oh, we already got plans.
She has tickets.
And I said, what? Yo, she has tickets.
She's fandangoed this
She's fandangoed the shit out of this. Like, they rocked Abu Dhabi. She rocked Fandango. And then she said, we're all coming.
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean we're all? I got Jimmy. He's taping early. Everyone's coming over from his theater. And we got booked out the whole Arclight there. And I was like, for what? And they're like, you said you wanted to see. I was like, oh, fuck. I was
this
kidding.
Is a gift.
So... we got there. Thank God somebody from the Kimmel Theater brought some edibles.
Mm-hmm.
I ate like a pot brownie or something, and then I just sat there in the front row and screamed
exactly what
the
you need
entire
to do.
Time.
One of those ladies is running for governor of New York now, yeah?
Yeah.
That's right.
Miranda.
Yeah.
And
Cynthia Nixon.
Then when I was leaving the Arclight Theater with Jimmy, TMZ guy, just popped
and
out of a
you're
bush.
A high.
Tripping balls.
Not only was I high, but it was weird that the man right show here. Guys were there for the premiere of Sex and the City. This wasn't Friday night. This was the Wednesday night sneak preview, but I'll play it for you guys just to get a laugh out of it.
Jimmy, huh? Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla, they're leaving the movie theater. It was Adam Carolla's 46th birthday last night, so they're leaving the movie theater. The guy goes, how was Sex and the City? So they start joking with him.
Awesome!
Dude, you're so
high. I look so high, right?
You look so high.
Oh, yeah. And then the camera guy goes, I thought you'd see Kick-Ass or something like that.
Sarah Jessica Parker in Kick-Ass?
No.
Well, then, no.
Did they honest to God go?
Now they're joking, man. Jimmy Kimmel falls back a little bit, and then he catches up to him. They ask him, they said, how was Sex in the City?
Can a couple of guys have a gay experience together without being questioned?
The comedy of it is...
Well, it's good to see you guys.
It's really great to see you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
The guy said, did they see that movie? And he's like, oh,
of course not. No, don't be ridiculous.
We absolutely saw that movie.
Can you pull up off TMZ... Tom Lennon, people think I'm Rob Schneider. Have you seen that one?
No.
I think you're going to enjoy it. People mistake me for Rob Schneider, which, by the way, they do a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, then pull up TMZ Adam Carolla, a mistake for Bobby Brady. Okay, after that. Let the guest run his, but have that.
Yeah, you will.
Greg Brady. Look up Greg Brady. Have them both. And then have that. There's him, too.
Do people mistake you
that
for Greg Brady?
That was at the Van Nuys Airport.
Did that actually happen? Perfect.
No. I just thought it'd be funny if we got into the one-upsmanship. Oh,
show me a TMZ clip.
TMZ.
Of shitty TMZ.
TMZ shitty clips.
John Mayer. One time I was walking out of a movie premiere, and I saw John Mayer.
Yeah.
The singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I love your stuff, man. On TMZ, there was a slight ellipsis, meaning like not interested in the movies or the comedy.
As one who doesn't watch TMZ every day, wasn't John Mayer one of the TMZ darlings early on?
Had to be.
I feel like there's a whole thing where John Mayer like took a camera and like did TMZ for a day.
Do you have that one? I think you'll like it.
Is it nearby?
Here you go.
All right, so this is you mistaken for Rob Schneider.
You'll see,
who was in here yesterday?
Was he?
Yeah, although it could have been you.
See?
But this year you were at LAX, right?
Oh, they always get you at LAX.
Yep. Or in front of an arc light.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, sweet.
We got Thomas Lennon at LAX. He is a riot.
Lady came up to me at the airport.
Told ya.
She was like, I love you in that movie. I love you in that movie. I'm like, oh, great, cool. She said, yeah, great job. The Animal.
And then he's like,
and then I realized, oh, she thinks I'm Rob Schneider. And guess what? Then we made love in the bathroom.
So he goes on this whole thing how he's mistaken for Rob Schneider.
Like, people come up, they're like, hey, Rob Schneider. I love your work. I'm like, let's make love in the bathroom. And then second time was weird. Third time was weird. Fourth time was like an older guy, and that was really weird.
I love you.
And then he's like,
so many people I've been making love to is Rob Schneider. And a couple of murders. What?
This is when he gets super weird. He's like,
that's the weirdest thing is when I just come up behind somebody and I've got like a weird like ice pick, you know, and I'm basically like the angel of death.
He goes, I'm the angel of death. And then he goes,
I'm like, it's me, Rob Schneider. It's Deuce Bigelow, Mal Gigolo. And I just send them in that night.
That is,
this is why I'm going to teach the tutorial. You come down to the Marriott.
These charges are gone.
You got to have your TMZ
Airport
10.
Marriott, TMZ, be ready. React.
Yes. When, you tell all the young budding comedians and celebrities.
When the plane is taxiing, because when you land at LAX, Adam, you know this. Is there a gate ready for you ever?
There's never a gate.
No. There's no gates.
It's good news and bad news. It's just we made up 38 minutes in the air. The problem with making up all that time is we have to fucking sit here for 47 minutes because they couldn't, because we don't have walkie-talkies. We couldn't communicate with them telling us we're making up some good time.
It's always a fucking brag from the captain. It's like, well, we actually got here. We caught the tailwinds, and if it wasn't for Captain Lucky Chance McMartin,
that's right,
you wouldn't be sitting here on this tarmac for the next 70 minutes.
Right.
So please remain seated.
We made up time in the air. It's a real yo-yoing of emotions, which is we took off 26 minutes late, but
news,
we've made up time in the air, and you're like, cha-ching, but we're going to tack on another 17 minutes onto the time we made up from the 26 when we get down.
Don't make the mistake of texting your loved ones when you land. Yeah. They're like, oh, just landed. 45 minutes later, where are you?
Still on the plane. Yeah, I got yelled at for using the bathroom. Like, that's...
Sir, we're on an active taxiway. Yeah,
here's our policy.
I don't care if you're a millionaire podcaster.
I like this bathroom. But yeah, I like this bathroom policy at home, which
I'd like to remind everybody.
When you're
active taxiway. What the fuck is an active taxiway?
It's like an active senior. It's like it really means he just walks.
It's just
with a stroke cane.
There's nothing going on.
No, like, here's the deal.
A aircraft carrier has an active taxiway, I would say. Like, don't fuck around on that one.
Well, let's drill down on this. Yes. First off, you're explaining to me that we've created a world where if we're going 626 miles an hour and 35,000 feet in the air, I can take a dump, no problemo. But if we're going rolling at 2 miles an hour, we're on terra firma, then it would be a hazard
like
for me to take a shit.
I'd like to remind everybody that we are on an active taxiway. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an active taxiway.
I would love
authorities will be meeting the plane.
I would love one story where we had a 777 in from Singapore, and it was T-boned by twin-engine Cessna, but luckily no one's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So everyone lived, and there was no fire. Or there could have been one person in the bathroom, and we lost all 314 souls. Like, what's it? So you're in the bathroom when you T-bone another plane on the taxi while you're taxiing. What?
Ladies and gentlemen,
on you?
Yeah.
Due to an ever so slight chance that you might sprinkle while you tinkle, we have required what is the logic behind it? And they will make you sit there forever.
I would be thankful if I was sitting in the middle seat and the guy on the aisle got up to take a dump while we're on the active taxiway, and then we clipped a Pan Am flight and caught on fire, I'd be like, well, thank you, fat guy, for vacating and your bowels as well. Yeah. I'll have an easier shot at the exit.
It's a great example how they manipulate you with like terminology.
Because,
when you're on the ground, literally not moving, sitting, waiting, you're on an active runway, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. When you're flying through the air 400 miles an hour, 30,000, you're cruising altitude.
Cruising altitude. Yeah, everyone can take a dump when you're cruising, but if it's active, no.
So young comedians, that time at LAX where there is no gate And this will happen 100% of the time.
Yes.
That's mm-hmm. when you just start thinking about your what.
Start
what,
putting together your piece.
Start putting together your TMZ piece.
Uh-huh.
It takes 5 minutes of prep.
Do you send out a tweet to alert those who care that you're landing? Or is there a manifest?
No, they're there. They're always there. Yeah.
So you start workshopping some stuff.
And they're not always going to be amazing. You know?
Right.
You're gonna lay down some bunts here and there.
Should you bounce it off the stewardess or the guy in the seat next to you? You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this.
Here's a bit I'm going to do for TMZ.
With the Rob Schneider mistaken thing, and now I'm banging people in the bathroom.
One of my classics was, hey, I just got off this plane and I have an erection that won't go away. That was a great one. Mm-hmm. I'm like, please don't talk to me now. I'd really love to. I think I've done one where I was like,
the
whole knee in the nuts.
That's a series.
That's like Puppet Master.
I think I did one where I was like, hey, everything's great. I was just visiting my secret family. My other secret family, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, start connecting it to travel.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, and then make it feel like it's organic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be just a young comedian.
Yeah.
So what if I go, is this crossing the line?
Let's see. I go
full Morton Downey Jr. and draw a swastika on my head with a ballpoint pen and then stagger through the airport. Would that be crossing the line?
You'll make the show. So there's that.
Okay, well, that's good. I want to make the cut.
The swastika is a divider, obviously.
There are some
very fine people on that side, as I think we all know.
I mean, on the other side. I don't.
Fine people on both sides.
Oh, fine people on both sides.
Ooh, Levin.
Very Jewish.
Okay. All right. So you're pushing the bounds of good taste?
That's a big one. You're gonna need an agent the level of James Baby Doll Dixon to talk you out of
some real Andy Kaufman shit.
Whose idea was the swastika, baby?
Oh, baby.
Here's your thing.
No, but you know they say no press. There's no bad, bad press.
But I gotta say, you pooping your pants with the swastika is kind of a divide.
Listen, baby. Are you smoking right now?
He's still smoking. James, he quit, right?
There's two things
baby
that he
James
has
Dixon.
Not quit. He's not quit smoking. He's not quit littering. When you drive with him, he doesn't litter. He'll literally just chuck stuff out the window while he's driving. That's how we find our way back to the hotel.
They got prisoners for that, kid. They got prisoners. If I'm not throwing stuff out the window, what are the prisoners going to do? You know? In my way, it's just helping out these poor guys.
You go to breakfast with him, he orders a coffee with cream and then puts 114 sugars into it. Like, Max Ray, you have the picture of what two cups of coffee with James Dixon looks like.
It's a breakfast genocide.
It's a massive
killing field of sugar packets.
No.
We're in the restaurant for half an hour.
It's a mass grave.
You go to mcrow.com, look at the picture. It is not staged. That's what he does to his coffee.
I tell you, I got the underwear guys on the line. I tell you, I swear to God, I'm going to tear them a new one. Don't worry about it, baby doll.
I love that.
Probably one of the best agents I've ever had in my entire life.
He is?
That was named. The reason I named it after him is because he's him. There's no other thing like him.
My greatest, you can do this. I'll tell you the story, and you do it as James Baby Doll Dixon.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, of course, baby.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to set you up. Which is
I instantly put my hand in this shape of I'm holding a cigarette, even though I'm not holding a cigarette.
I said to him once, "So did you talk to so and so? And what was their offer?"
Uh huh.
And he said, "Their offer was so insulting that I told them I'm not even going to bring it to you as a client.
Right.
That's insulting to my client, and I won't even dignify it by bringing it to the client."
So now I'm going to insult you by telling you how it's.
I said, okay, how much was it? And he said, I'm not going to tell you.
I can't tell
you. Like, he was true to himself.
That's a good line.
So we'll replay that. Baby doll.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you talk? Yeah, talk to Animal?
Yeah. I talked to him, but it's...
What are we talking about per episode here?
It's disgusting.
What kind of money are we talking about?
Honestly, I hung up the phone and I threw it against the wall when I heard it.
What was the number?
You're not going to like it.
Yeah, I get it.
You're not going to like it. I can't tell it to you because it would be belittling.
Well, what'd you tell them?
Because you're a lion. Entertainment is the Serengeti, you're a motherfucking lion guy. And I told him that.
In the tall grass.
You're napping in the tall grass.
I'm the kind of client who'd run at a great white and give him a back
get,
off.
Get that great white shark out of there. Mm-hmm. So I said, here's what I said. Mm. On behalf of me and my client, never call me again. Fuck off. Fuck yourself.
Uh-huh.
And then I broke the phone, so they literally they could not
they
call
can't
me.
Call you back.
I changed the number, so they can't call me back.
I
so.
Like that part. Remember that time you told those guys at Sony, I don't roll over in bed for less than $50,000.
Yeah, there's also yeah, exactly. There is no telephone anymore. Mm-hmm. You are not reachable through me. Uh-huh. We have sent a very powerful message.
How much did they offer though?
$1.5 million.
What?
But that's stupid. That for you, that's not really money for you.
It is.
Another
great one I had. Another great one I had is when I signed up to do a me and Kevin Smith were going to do some sort of cable show or something like that. Whatever it was.
And I like this cable show for you and Kevin. It's going to be great.
Favorite
I like
Nations. $500,000 each, right?
Yeah.
And then I signed my contract, and he signed his contract, and it was like, you get $500,000, you do a pilot, and then like, or a presentation, like a pilot, whatever it was. It was like super nothing, light lifting work, and $500,000. And at the time, me and Mike Oggs were like traveling the country, and I was doing stand up for like $8,000 a pop, you know? So the $500,000, that's a lot of traveling. And I was in a town doing stand up once again, and my phone rang. And
hey,
it was,
it's James.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby, it's James.
What's going on with the Kevin Smith pilot deal?
I blew it.
Wow.
No, he told me. So he was like, it's going away.
It's just going away.
And I was like, oh, okay, but I signed a contract. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Wait.
It's going away. And I was like, are we getting any money? And he's like, screw those guys. We don't need their money. And I was like,
we do?
Yes, we do.
Wait, what? How did it go away?
Kevin Smith.
He didn't want to do it. He bailed.
No, he wanted to do it with somebody else, but he lied basically and just told them that I wasn't returning his calls, even though he never called me, and that I'd insulted him, even though I didn't know what he was talking about. And he essentially just wanted me not to do it with him, but he wanted the money. So he went to them and went, I can't work with that guy. I want to work with somebody else, but give me the money, but don't give him the money. And that's what happened.
Wow.
Yeah,
but
awesome.
Dixon, I mean, first of all, other than always giving me really
later on, when he
advice.
Recounted the story on his podcast, he made it about me and the money.
Mm. Oh,
I was too greedy.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's Favorite Nations and we both got $500,000. And speaking of greedy, I got nothing and he got $500,000. And then they did a pilot and it went nowhere.
But are you arguing that you're not greedy?
No, I am.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Just weird when you're called greedy by the guy who got you pushed out of the show.
Took all the money.
Zero money, and you got the $500,000 to do a pilot.
But Dixon Ford is as one phenomenally loyal guy.
Mm-hmm.
For as much as he will, I would love to hear him yell at people sometimes. Because then he's also a great caretaker of you. He'll be like, these guys, watch me do this for you. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, he's like, oh, look how much I love you. I'm going to call him. Uncle, sit right there. I'm going to call him right now.
Right.
Call him right now. Get him on a fucking phone. Oh, he's the best.
The best.
The best.
You get wood when he yells at people on your phone.
It's like an art installation when he yells at somebody.
He literally did it an hour ago. I was on the phone. He gave me the, you tell so-and-so, I'll put my foot in their ass. If they, you know, like, it's great when it goes through you. Like,
okay. Oh,
it's awesome. All right. Let me tell you about the MedMen. Today's cannabis consumers everywhere and everyone. Let's drop the labels. Teachers, executives, parents at MedMen, you are a customer. There's something for everyone. Whether it's you're new to the cannabis or familiar, like lotions, edibles, vape pens, whatever you know, whatever you go, bath bombs and more. Touch screens that allow you to view in-depth product info and redshirted staff who are incredibly knowledgeable and put you at ease. You can check out one of their 8 locations in LA, Orange County, San Diego, or visit medmen.com. Find the store nearest you. Go to medmen.com. They'll let you know where the store is. Head on over. It's bright, it's airy, the professionals. Check it out at medmen.com. Dawson.
Visit MedMen and mention Adam Carolla at checkout for $10 off your order. Check out MedMen today.
Okay, MedMen. Thomas Lennon here. Mm-hmm. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll do the news with Thomas and Gina Grad right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
A NME.com says that Lindsay Lohan has voiced her opposition to the Me Too movement, claiming that women are made to look weak by sharing their stories of sexual abuse. Speaking in an interview with the Times UK about Me Too, she explained, quote, "If it happens at that moment, you discuss it at that moment. You make it a real thing by making it a police report. I'm going to really hate myself for saying this, but I think by women speaking against all these things, it makes them look very weak when they are very strong women." And last year, Lohan was proved to be an unlikely defender of Harvey Weinstein after he initially faced a slew of sexual assault allegations. This is from her Instagram last October concerning Weinstein. That's what she said.
You hear about that Rob Schneider banging all those chicks in the bathroom at the airport?
Oh, yeah. He's
chicks.
Stud.
Yeah. Oh, and dudes. Yeah.
And older dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
What's she saying?
She's got to be next.
There she goes.
Oh. Is her talking about Weinstein?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Hi. I'm in Dubai. I'm home. And I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me. And we've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong. So stand up.
Hmm. Oof, I like okay. the new bar. Oof. Well, he never raped me. Yeah. So yeah. he's got to be innocent.
It must be. Wow.
So that's, that would preclude most rape cases yeah, to go totally, forward yeah, right, for yeah. me because my attitude was like, well, that guy didn't rape me.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, I'd like to tell another witness who
Let me
didn't
check
rape.
Again. Wow. That's pretty harsh. I had no idea she did that. one of my good friends was assaulted by Harvey Weinstein.
Oh. Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Do we know who that is?
Yeah, she's in all the articles and things. But it's disgusting, and that I never saw that video.
If she's in all the articles, do we mind saying who she is?
I don't want to do
weird.
That. Yeah, okay. But it's just like I hate seeing that's a. I had no idea she did that.
Well, and it's also insulting.
That's crazy.
Granted, this is, you know, fairly early on. This is, you know, almost a year ago. But it's also pretty insulting to say, hey, Georgina, stand by your man.
There's 50 fucking crazy things about that.
Right. But that's, right. I mean, that's insane.
Especially what it worries me the most as the author of her amazing film, Herbie Fully Loaded. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried how this is going to hurt my pocketbook.
Sure.
No.
Absolutely.
In Blu-ray and DVD sales.
Mailbox
did I
money.
Write on it?
You wrote it?
Herbie Fully Loaded is a Lennon and Grant jam.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that on my bio?
We got to get Herbie Fully Loaded in
there,
guys.
So much room.
Sorry.
Best kept secret about, boom.
Wow. Thomas Lennon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, obviously, I can only bring this scary Lindsay Lohan news back to me.
Sure.
Well, is it safe to say that some substance got to her at some point and she doesn't seem to think clearly from a certain point on? Like, it seems like
she
I don't know her, I've never met her, but it seems like she was a spry young delight and then something happened and it seems drug related to me.
Well, it could be, but you've made mention of this before with Justin Bieber and people who, like that, who she was 12 years old. She's a multi millionaire and at that age between Parent Trap and
she'd had a bunch of pictures in a row and by the way she's
young teenage
amazing
girl.
In all of them, and even if I'm joking about it, she's actually amazing in Herbie Fully Loaded.
She's a talent, but I'm still saying that you're going to my argument, which is she seems addled at 23 and a half.
She doesn't seem to red lined.
This isn't attitude. This is addled. You know what I mean? Like, she's something's up. She's a little, you know what I mean?
Have the same vibe.
Right.
We had to pitch a movie about a year and a half ago, pitched a movie, and it was at some fancy hotel in Beverly Hills called, like, the Mosaic or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a Montage.
Montage. It's got a pool on the roof.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, me and my writing partner, we're meeting with this big producer, got to pitch this movie, and there's this little, like, keeps happening, and
what's that?
A shirtless Justin Bieber is riding around on his hoverboard up there by the pool.
Oh, my God.
Bieber's running around, and then you realize he's got, like, his posse with him of all shirtless dudes, kind of like him, riding around on their little hoverboards, and then he's got six security guys to make sure it's cool that nobody fucks with them while they're riding their hoverboards around the pool restaurant. And we've got this crazy big meeting happening.
Right.
And Bieber just keeps going, brr, brr, brr.
Can't
shirtless
focus
Bieber.
On that
just keeps, I can't focus on the fucking meeting. And I'm like, I'm this guy, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
If he blows this for me by shirtless hoverboarding in a little circle, I'm going to fucking do this. Is going to get out of hand. I'm going to go fucking say something. And then like four times later, brrr, hoverboard goes by again. And then he backs up. Brrr, and he leans in and he says, leans into me and he says, "Hey man, I just want to tell you I love your comedy and I'm just a fan of everything you do. I'm a fan of everything you do." And that's when I decided I love Justin Bieber so much that he could literally do anything he wants. He was a goddamn delight.
Mm. Yeah.
He helped the meeting, if anything.
Oh, God, I looked into those beautiful eyes, and he was saying that stuff to me.
I could see.
I melted away.
I see Thomas is like pitching a period piece, and he's like, and they're like, "Well, who do you see for Abe Lincoln?"
Justin Bieber.
It's like a dreamy
shirtless Canadian boy.
You know what it's like when you're. It's like when you're talking on the phone and you're watching a Arby's commercial, and then someone goes, "You think that's a good idea?" And you're like, "Yeah, that's succulent.
Yeah, that's so savory, cheddar.
Yeah, yeah,
so boy. Beefy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah." It's like you're just watching and it's completely polluting your world. You couldn't pitch anything with Justin Bieber going bound on a
hoverboard. No, it was rough. But then it gave me this crazy confidence. Yeah. Then we wrote the movie and they shelved it, so it didn't fucking matter anyway.
Thanks, Justin.
Most movies get shelved.
How much of Bieber's recognition of you is a TMZ thing? Because he's on TMZ.
100%.
Probably. He goes around, like he gets on the skateboard or the hoverboard or whatever, and he buzzes by, and they put him on TMZ, so then he must go home and watch himself. And Thomas is only on like 3 days a week. Like he's not on every day. You make it on a day Bieber's on, the other 2 days you're not on. But either way, you guys are doing a curl across
pollination. It's 100% that, yeah. Okay. Which is a bummer, because I got a big catalog of work that's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he should familiarize himself with that. Yes, I agree.
Dog Days is in theaters right now.
Like Herbie, fully alone. Did not know. All right. Drugs, some drugs. Who could I talk to about? Like,
drugs?
Why don't you talk to Dr. Drew? Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would imagine it's significant.
Circuit, like, she seems like...
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing you got to be really careful as. As an actor, you get one voice.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've really blown it out, that's it.
Mm.
And I just hope she takes care of her voice.
What's going on in Dubai?
What? Like, why dropping the name of Dubai?
Well, remember, she was dating some, I think, like, Russian oligarch and then a Greek heir.
I kind of feel like there's a super sort of murky line between super high-end prostitute and dating oligarch or prince of Dubai. Yeah. Like, and it didn't start to sort of bleed into
there is a job. If you're like famous, particularly if you're a famous woman, I know I did a movie with a Playboy playmate, Victoria Silvestad.
Yeah.
Remember Victoria Silvestad?
The blonde. She was like part of the Swedish bikini team.
Yes. She's probably the captain.
Olympic medal they've ever won. She was an alternate.
She's an alternate. No. So she, would get flown around the world just to go to nightclubs.
Yeah,
right.
This is a whole job.
Yeah,
right. And you just show be up. At something's opening, and you just be there.
You get an appearance fee,
and that's your job.
Yeah,
no offense. So,
can we see some pictures of Victoria Silvestad?
Oh
yeah,
God.
I don't know who it is.
You don't know who Victoria Silvestad is?
No, I'd like to see.
She was. Was she not also a guest model?
Yes.
No.
I'm gonna go with yes.
She starred in my dreams.
She starred in your dreams.
12 to 14.
Look up, if we did the IMDb of your dreams, she's in so many of them.
Oh, known
very,
for.
Very, very, very nice.
It's got to be a weird who's on first. She's also got to be a guest model. I don't know, Cindy Crawford? No, guest model. All right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if like a lot of Lindsay Lohan's, what she does these days is go to like events like that.
Yeah, I like to be a little, I'm a little more nefarious than you are. And also I may beat off to it later, but are they having sex?
Who's this?
Well,
oh, no, let me go there. No. You're literally just like, it's a, you're hired like the same way.
That's the extension of the Victoria Silvestad thing.
You're just a birthday clown.
We paid you $50,000 to come in.
Yeah. No.
But while you were there, you met a guy.
No.
And that guy had a lot of money.
Well, then there's like the Sultan of Brunei situation where you just get flown in and, you know, shit on a coffee table and they give you a Rolex.
Tell me way more about this.
That's what I know mostly.
I got to write that.
Is there any chance he's into guys who look like Rob Schneider?
Yeah.
There's a very good chance.
There's a difference between hot chick and dude. Sultan flies you in. You're going out on your own dime, number one. Number two, you shit on a coffee table at the palace.
Yeah.
You don't get a Rolex. You get fucking pepper sprayed and dragged out of there. That's the difference between being a hot chick and being us. You know, the difference between a Submariner and pepper spray.
Right.
That's all you need to know. Every time you guys are complaining about being a woman, think about the pepper spray versus the Rolex.
Does he have one of those sex discos where people just get kept in it?
I don't know about a sex disco, but
I'm trying to get one of those going.
I'd like that to be my improv group.
I mean, if I mean, I'm probably
my sex disco is full of funny dudes already.
Oh, but I got skills. I got building skills.
You do. You do. That you have. Yeah.
Need that.
Well, so does Nick Offerman, though. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, Nick's a friend.
If you want to live in a canoe.
Let me talk about what a douche he is for 40 minutes. I like when everyone does it. You know, Nick's a friend.
Great guy. And
now let me stab him in the back for 40 minutes. You'll cut me off eventually because I'm getting hungry. Nick's a friend. He's a dear man. But you go to Nick if you want a $1,400 salad bowl. But if you need that disco ball canoes. Hung, you come to the Ace Man. Yeah, but when's the last time you went into a
disco?
You
can do electrical.
Yeah. Let me ask you something, Thomas.
Sex disco.
What if I said to you, have you ever heard this statement? What happened to your shin? Answer, tripped over a canoe going into a sex disco.
I've never heard that.
Okay.
There's no scenario in which that exists.
Then you don't need Nick Offerman. Then. You understand? It took a long way. No. It took me a while to get there.
Oh, no, but it's a very solid argument.
But you understand? That's why you don't need that. Look, he's a dear friend, but you don't need that asshole hanging around. Right?
It checks out.
And also, he's pretty pious, too. Like, I don't think he's religious, but I think he casts a lot of judgment.
He looks like it.
He's one of these guys who's really into his wife. You know what I mean?
So
he'd be wearing his dungarees, like with his arms folded, and you'd be balls deep and a runaway.
He'd be literally poo-pooing
the
sex disco.
And he'd be doing something like working on a book while you're trying to corral girls.
He's just doing some great books about making canoes.
Getting that inflatable pool, and he's writing another book.
I know.
He's a friend.
He's a friend.
A dear man.
He's a dear man. But that's, you know, he's going to want to go, he's going to find out I own a router, and I'm going to be like balls deep in one of the runaways.
Yeah,
and
but
he's going to be like, is
it
a plunge router? How big is the chuck? Is it a half inch chuck?
I guess what it depends on is what does this sex disco / dungeon look like?
Well, if you don't want to find out, then invite Nick Offerman. If you want to know, invite Adam Carolla.
I get it.
Understood?
I know. You're going to get it wired. You got a lot of stuff you can do.
I can pull Romex.
Yeah, you can pull Romex.
Mm-hmm. I can pull a train.
Can you do plumbing stuff?
I can sweat some copper.
You can sweat a little bit of copper. Okay.
And I can also do
PVC. So, you can. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. There you go. That counts.
Good enough.
Offman's out. You're in.
Throw a trap in. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Where were we?
A year from now, Tom's in here promoting Six Disco.
Yeah. Did I say copper? I'll do copper.
Yeah, sure.
I'll do PVC and I'll do ABS.
We're still in the news, I just realized.
Would you like to hear something?
News. Yeah,
I would love to hear it.
Well, Breitbart reports that this season and for the first time in NFL history, there will be male dancers cheering along the female cheerleaders when the LA Rams and New Orleans Saints take the field. Male dancers Quentin Pirin and Napoleon Ginnies are set to make history at the 2018 season kickoffs this year as they prepare to join the women on the sidelines cheering for the Rams. And 25-year-old Jesse Hernandez will join the cheerleaders on the Saints. Other teams have men as part of the sideline entertainment, the Baltimore Ravens and the Colts. They have the stunt performers, but until now there have been none who are dancers integrated to the female cheer squad.
Mm.
Can you please say the name of the dancer one more time?
We're
sure. There is
both of them.
Quentin Pirin and Napoleon Ginnies.
That's a fabulous name.
Isn't it?
Here they are. Yeah. They're handsome guys.
Every college team has the male, you know, the cheerleader squad.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really see why this is that newsworthy.
Well, that's the thing, though. Thank you. And that's the thing, too, is they're not just like stunt guys that are holding up or flying cheerleaders. They're dancers.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that before. Mm. So it's a new era.
These guys aren't welcome in the sex dungeon, by the way.
Well, they're going to be way better looking than any of the comedians in there.
I'm not taking my shirt off.
Look at the traps on these guys. Gorgeous lats.
Yeah. I'm going to be between Artie Lang and Patton Oswalt when my shirt comes off. I'm not going to be between these two beautiful drinks of brown sugar.
I feel like I not only am I excited for the male dancers at the football games, I'm excited for the weirdos that are going to be out there protesting them for no reason.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
There are going to be some
with boners. But you're like, hey,
mixed
man.
Message.
Yeah,
this
man.
Placard won't fall straight.
Don't. It's not right. It's just not right. Look at these beautiful lats and traps on these boys.
Greased up.
What's you
undulating.
Doing? I'm trying to look at the feller's pants back there. Oh, and all this dancing's happening.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't protest too much.
Yeah.
Because well, that just means you care.
But this should
be if you care now, we need to have questions.
That's what we're doing lately.
Yes.
All we do is that these days.
I know.
We protest this too much about
this
everything.
This is why your answer for almost everything mm-hmm. should just be like, yeah. My first answer is like, huh? And then they go, like, there's guys dancing. And I'm like, okay.
So what?
Like, right. Anyway. I gotta. I'm putting
it's
the finishing
right.
I gotta put the base and case down on the sex dungeon, so I'm kind of on the move here. So anyway,
where in football does it say a man with beautiful traps?
Yeah,
and gorgeous lat muscles.
Yeah, and then we go to slippery slope guy, which is you know, well, you have a couple of guys dancing in an NFL game, and what's to stop me from marrying a raccoon and having sex with it?
Like, always, like that is always
that's not always, even a rule. Yeah, like, oh yeah,
well, it starts here.
It's the next logical. You know why? Because when you go.
Yeah.
What is the harm in just two guys dancing in a stadium with 90?
Yeah.
Well, nothing.
Wait till
there's
you
no
see
harm
mine
there, but wait till I have sex
wait till
with
you
that
see
raccoon.
My throbbing, engorged
right.
member entering
that's
a
right.
consensual raccoon.
That's right. Then how do you my kids?
So then you go, well, oh, well, I have a problem with that. Yeah, and then they go, well, there's your problem. It's like, well, that's just, yeah. You've connected two things that shouldn't be connected.
Let me describe more about me making love to this raccoon, sir. Huh. Something you thought about for a long time.
Yes. All right.
Well, Travel and Leisure reports that passengers flying Delta between Portland, Oregon and Tokyo, Japan will be part of the airline's new test to bring three-course meals to economy passengers. Mm. Attempting to make a long-haul flight a little bit more luxurious, the airline is testing out a new restaurant experience in the main cabin. So here's how it's going to go down.
Is there there's Travel and Leisure. Is this one just leisure? Because I feel like I'd be on like my hard-hitting expose on throw pillows, page 38. Beanbag, friend or foe.
Isn't that just Martha Stewart Living?
It's close.
It is.
Yeah. So here's how it's going to go down. Upon takeoff, economy passengers will get welcome bubbles. So you either get a choice of three Bellinis or Ooh. Sparkling water.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it comes time for meal service, passengers receive a printed menu detailing their choices.
Mm-hmm.
Each course is served separately. Instead of small little microwave metal tins, meals are served on white dishes with cloth napkins. Still plastic cutlery, but a nicer version than the flimsy ones we're used to. If the tests are successful, Delta could roll out the meal service to other long-haul international flights by the end of the year. I specifically left out some of the meal examples, Adam, because I didn't want this whole thing to come crashing down around you.
Because
you'll hate it. You'll
hit
hate
me.
It. All right.
Let's hear it.
Lobster thermidor.
It's
all lobster thermidors.
If I hear veggie lasagna, I'm going to be angry.
These don't even sound like... I promise you none of you have ever eaten any of these.
Anything in a truffle sauce.
What was my... Oh, I had a goddamn omelet, but it was a goat cheese omelet. Or it was... Then I talked to some guy at the theater. I was complaining after I got off the plane, and I was like... Fucking goat cheese omelet. Like, I don't know where, like, I love every omelet. Like, if I go to a restaurant, I'll love the first eight omelets
sure.
on the roster, and but not never goat cheese, but that's what we had. And then later, the guy was a one-upper, and he was like, oh, really? I took a first-class flight. I got a parsley omelet. And
that's
I'm like,
not an omelet.
Wow, that sounds like fucking punishment. Like, somebody slipped.
Parsley is not.
Eggs.
Parsley
that's not even
garnish.
A thing.
It's a garnish.
I know.
It's like, a side thing.
Just go south.
Here's the thing that I would feel about this. Everything that the airlines say to us is theoretical from a conference room on the ground.
True.
It's going to be great. There's white truffles. You get a pair of socks.
Right.
Everybody's going to kiss you.
That's right.
There's going to have a time.
Right.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yes.
And then you get in the plane, and it's as if we just... close the embassy in Hanoi. Everybody's got to get the fuck out of here. We're hanging on.
Right.
Go! Just go! It doesn't fucking matter!
Yeah.
Where's my truffle fries? Sir, just go!
Right.
We're on an active taxiway!
That's right.
We are on an active taxiway! Sit down! Shut the fuck up!
I know. And it's always...
We're out of the truffle fries, you assholes!
They're always like, they have something weird... Right, and that you're right because every one of those commercials that where they're bathed
hey,
in luxury,
oh my god, so
any of them shot in the air?
No,
they're shot in a fucking
soundstage.
They're
shot 10 feet away,
fucking on a fake plane that's on the ground where they can pull off what they're
all
promising to pull off, but they can't pull it off
way
in the air.
Further apart from each other.
Yeah.
The rows
it's on a
are much
soundstage
deeper.
In a plywood fuselage airplane with models like Victoria Simpson on there,
and then you get and then. There's theory and practice.
Right.
And then, the practice
right.
is a fucking tornado.
And when you get on the fucking plane, after 9/11, there's no arguing. So here's how it works. Yep. They tell you what in theory is going to happen on the ground.
It's then, truffle. It's only truffle fries.
When you're sitting in first class, they have one thing that nobody wants, and then another thing that everybody wants, and they go, they get to the back of first class.
All that's left is the trout. And they only have the trout.
Yes, we have, so that's
the trout omelet.
That's what happens. Yeah, they go, we have cold brook trout that's been marinated in orphan tears, or over here we got steak. We got steak over here. We got a beef short rib over here. And you go, I'll have the short rib. Oh, no, we're out of
that
because we loaded up the plane with one thing. A seagull wouldn't eat the one fucking thing. All right? But the other thing everyone wants.
Everybody.
But here's our plan.
By the way, it is the short rib, too.
There are 30 guys. Mm-hmm. There are 30 souls in first class. We got 15 of each. Except for when you get back to the back of first class, the first 15 people did all the fucking short rib.
And the brook trout doesn't come with a cookie either. I'm so sorry.
No. No, that comes with halva. That comes with warm halva.
It comes with halva and a throat lozenge.
All right. Well, be prepared to be angry. They list three choices as possible menu items
brook
for
trout,
this.
Brook trout.
It is close. So for an appetizer, you'll have your choice of a quinoa salad or roasted grapes and pine nuts. And one of the entree options is pasta. I've never heard this as a pasta topping. Mm-hmm. Pasta with cauliflower and walnuts.
Can we just shit you get on the ground? Like, if you would never, ever order it. Like, if you went to your favorite Italian place and you would never want...
How about cauliflower and walnuts on what would have been totally normal gnocchi?
Right.
That could have been great.
Right. It could have been great.
With a red sauce.
Yeah. If you had keistered in a small bottle of ragu, dumped it on it, and room temperature would improve it tenfold. That's a bad sign for your first class experience, right?
Yeah.
Hey, got some ragu from prison.
I'm going to
make this deal much
over
better.
To get to you.
Yes. What is the thought that you want something you've never heard of when you're in the air?
Pasta with cauliflowers and walnuts is what you make when you're out of food.
Yeah, that's something you make when you're high.
Here's what we got.
The only thing I can think of is because your palate changes at a certain altitude and they have to add
can
salt
I say
and
this
shit,
too?
But it's a texture thing. They think all you want is a texture.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got a cream cheese omelet. That's gross. What I got. Okay. Let me say it. Yeah, it's weird. Okay. Here's the caveat, or here's the new world order. If you're going with something which is a combination of proteins that have never been combined, of starches and proteins that have never been formally put together, like sometimes you think you made up a word that has never been said by humans. What's that?
Quiznella.
Quiznella.
Yeah.
If that's what's on your menu, you can't have the bitch you're serving it up explain when you go, how is that? Oh, I've never tried it. Try it. You must try it.
You've invented
a new food. I need some feedback here.
I wouldn't eat that.
You're out of the steak.
Because it was thawed up on the ground.
Yeah.
I want to know what it is. Yeah. They never try it. If you're going to do something, look, if you're just going to go, what do we got? Fish sticks. I won't go, try it. But I want to know. I know what that tastes like. But this?
Yeah, roasted grapes.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'd like a heads up.
Earth scenario where I would eat a roasted grape.
Yeah, me either.
On the ground.
Right, but there's no ground scenario where you eat Fiesta mix either. It's like it's all in the air.
Yeah.
It's all in the air.
Speaking of this, and Chris, if you can find it, great. If not, that's fine. I just saw a viral video go around on Facebook that it looks like this big pot roast, and it's not. It's a seared watermelon. Ugh. Have you seen this shit?
No, but I want to see
this. It looks like they're cutting ahi or something really rare beef.
Booze in that watermelon, I will.
That's a missed opportunity.
I'll come at you like a herd of turtle, man. I'm fucking pissed. If the only way this can be forgiven is if there's booze.
Looks pretty gross.
Clean booze. All right, let me tell you about Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to go anywhere? Go to Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket and save up for that first class ticket. How about that? Go to Geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes and see just how much money you could be saving on your auto insurance at Geico. Thomas.com. Now, Thomas has to get out of here in a second.
They do have the video, so if you want to see this.
It's
pretty crazy.
So this a watermelon.
I just saw this on Facebook.
No way.
They're cutting it like it's a pot roast, and it looks very red. Mm-hmm. And it's some restaurants doing it. It's like a seared, roasted watermelon. No clue what that could taste like. But it looks kind of crazy.
It kind of looks horrible.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. It's
it
weird.
It looks
sci-fi.
It looks like someone's leg opened up. And I don't mean that in the good way.
Yeah, it looks like the worst.
It just looks like loose. Yeah.
The worst leg accident ever.
But I know that it is sweet then, too.
Yeah,
so I just don't want it at all.
You're right.
But at altitude.
Delicious.
Roasted watermelon. Give it to me. The watermelon. Our watermelons have been roasted. We have no gate because we're on an active taxiway. But here's your roasted watermelon.
We're on an active taxiway.
Active taxiway.
I do love it. Like, you're not moving. Like,
active. You're not active. I'd like to remind everyone you're on a... How is everybody enjoying the watermelon that looks like somebody's leg? And those roasted grapes. If you have to have diarrhea, please stay in your seat. That's the thing. They're basically saying, by the active taxiway, they would rather you shit your pants in their seat than go use the toilet, which they're going to clean between flights anyway.
It's a recipe for disaster because everyone has had that thing where you start your initial glide slope in and they tell you, we're going to put the fastened seatbelt light up in about 3 minutes. So if you have to use the bathroom, and you kind of go... Well, it's a 6 hour, like, I could use the bathroom, and then you see a couple of people got up.
Bunch of weird people.
So there's a couple weird people standing
in the
aisle.
They're doing the thing that you're not allowed to do. They're hovering.
Right, they're hovering.
They're lurking.
Right. You yelled shotgun a million years ago, but they're hovering by your toilet, and now you do that move, you're like, we're down at 25, I can be in the terminal by half hour, like, I got this. And then you set your bladder to, like, 35 minutes.
You set it to go off.
But then you get on the ground, and what taxiway are we on?
We're an active taxiway. Welcome to the great city of Los Angeles.
But I have an active bladder.
Because Captain Goose O'Connor got you in here 71 minutes early.
Oh, with the tailwind?
We got a nice little piece of tailwind there.
How many knots?
And we were hitting 300 several many knots. But I'll tell you right now, there will be a gate available early tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
We are six in line. We are on an active taxiway, sir!
All right. We've been here for 40 minutes, and I had to go to the bathroom 30 minutes ago, and
hey,
I'm really...
a little update from the flight deck.
Okay.
Here, there are three other aircraft at our gate right now. We are fourth in line for you to shit your pants.
Do you think they speak in that super slow tone when one of the jet engines flames out?
Hey, everybody.
No, and they're talking to the tower, and the guy's got the manual open, and he's trying to give you how to restart the engine, and it takes him 20 minutes to tell him one of the engines has flamed out.
Looks here like the old left engine is playing us for a fool. What do you mean? It is... pretty much in fuego. It's on fire.
Let
me get the big book.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
If you have to have diarrhea, please stay in your seat.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
You know, it'd be a great sort of swap for a day. We take the super smooth captain of Delta Air, and we get him a job as a livestock auctioneer.
Oh,
this
be
check
tough.
Out this heifer is 20 hands high. That's a whole lot of hands. Old Goose McConnell here auctioning off here.
The auction takes 41 hours, and it was supposed to be from 6 to 8 p.m.
25. Hey, how's everybody liking that roasted watermelon?
Now, they have to go to pilot Easy Talk school because, you know what's interesting? At least to this podcaster. I've often joked that cops have they all talk the same. And the reason they do extra words is because they don't want you to go... Hey, man, what's going on? I live a block from here. I was going like 40. This is a 35. Like, they don't want to deal with you. So they do the, okay, what I need you to do for me right now is go ahead and give me your license registration, okay, mm-hmm. right now. For me, go ahead right now yeah. and reach in. And they don't leave you an opening to go like, what, huh? No. Wait, they just go, because there's no, they could say license and registration. They don't need to say, what I'm going to need you to do for me yeah. right now is to go ahead and yeah. get your license and registration, okay, right now. But they're filibustering so you don't get in there.
It's preemptive chatter.
Right. So they've worked it out. Shut up. They're saying, yeah. don't say anything. Don't argue with me. Don't say, oh, no one's robbing a bank or anything. You won't say anything because I'm going to talk over you the entire time. Like if you ever, if there's ever like a politician being grilled and they have bad answers, yeah. the person will start like, Tucker. Yeah. No. They're like, literally, I'm going to make noise so I don't have to say the thing.
Yeah, the wall of sound.
The pilots do the opposite, right? They're telling me, some people are nervous. We need you to be
get real quiet up here.
Yeah.
I was on a flight one time, speaking of, Smokey Robinson.
Wow.
And Smokey Robinson was sitting next to me on the plane. He said the coolest thing I've ever heard a person say. The flight attendant came up to him and he said, she'd gone around saying to everybody, is there anything I can do for you before we take off? And he said, yeah, there's something you can do for me. You can tell your man I envy him.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh holy shit, that was so cool.
Panty drop.
And then I tried it, and mace.
I don't want to be back one of
them. Did you say it to Smokey?
But I was on a flight sitting next to Tommy Davidson.
Nice.
And he said, we talked about Pizzones for a while, but then... But that's only the first 4 hours of flight. We still had an hour and 45 to go.
And gate time.
Oh, we had a tailwind, so we're getting it early.
Oh, Goose McConnell got you anywhere.
We literally...
caught one of my lucky wins.
I literally was sitting next to Tommy Davidson. I also... that flight also had Jim Brown on it. Huh. We did land a little early.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a goddamn bomb threat in the terminal.
Oh. Oh.
So we were on an active taxiway, and we had to stay in the plane because... there was a bomb threat that closed down the terminal, and I said to Jim Brown, I'll tell you what, like we're sitting right up front. They like opened the door and everything, but we were on there, but we couldn't get off the plane. And I said, Jim, you make a break. I'll be right behind you. You take out the first security guy. I'll cut right off your tail and go for pay dirt. And he was like, I don't block for anybody. And I was nice. Like, well, I love it that you can be super serious about this insane.
Hypothetical.
I love that.
This insane scenario that even though, even now, you're super serious about this jack-off mm-hmm. comedian explaining that you're going to block, that's like good. You're going to hit the linebacker anybody. Who's filling the hole, and I'm going to cut off your block, and he didn't block for anybody. And then I realized Jim Brown never did block for anyone, did he? No. Just ran, yeah, ran for daylight.
What do you say to that? That's an awkward conversation ender.
The other thing, too, that struck me in that situation... when Jim Brown and Tommy Davidson saw each other, it was like super bro handshake mm-hmm. and hugging it out mm-hmm. and all that kind
of
shit.
You didn't get any of that.
And I thought, are you guys that good of friends or are you both just black? Like, you know, when I see my, you know, it's like, oh, I saw Joe Montana and he kissed me and we hugged. It'd just be like, get the fuck away from me. Man show, didn't watch it. Now get away from me. I gotta do a Skechers commercial. Like, we'd be hugging. Hey, we're both white. Like, come on.
Yeah, it doesn't
be like
that
Jim
way.
Brown and Tommy Davidson.
It's not that friends. Camaraderie.
Nah. They're just black, right? Nah. They get to do that, right?
I guess so.
It's unfair.
Yeah.
Where's our privilege?
It's our time.
Yeah.
We can try. I'll come over there and hug you really
hand
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we you did, go up to Jim did. Brown and try hugging it out with
we
him.
We kind of did hug when we came. Didn't I hug you when we came in here?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Check the TMZ.
check the
something of us hugging on TMZ. All right, did you bring it home?
I did.
That was Rob Schneider you hugged.
Oh, that was
yesterday. That was yesterday.
Sex in the bathroom.
Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown, all the enemy. You need Castrol Edge, man. If the oil goes bad, it can rob your engine up to 10%. Of horsepower. You don't need that. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, it's physically transforms to be stronger under pressure. Helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times,
fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance of your car's engine. Castrol Edge. All right. Oh, this picture.
They actually are pretty close.
All right, but this is
them at an O.J. Simpson fundraiser.
Oh, no.
Wait.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, God.
Go back one.
Wait a minute.
Go back one?
A picture or a statement? Hold on. We're looking at a picture of Tommy Davidson and Jim Rapp. Let me say this. Tommy looks delighted to be there. Jim looks put upon.
Oh, very.
That's my argument. But sorry. OJ fundraiser?
This is an OJ fundraiser?
Yeah, they're an OJ fundraiser in this photo.
What's the year?
Well, I was doing the math, crucial. Too, but it's like, I don't if think he had fundraisers 80s. Before 94 yeah. or 3 or whatever. Yeah. Hmm. If you're raising money for OJ, it's post-Nicole problem,
yeah.
right?
2006.
Tommy Davidson.
2006.
Tommy Davidson got famous in like 2000.
Why was I not invited to this?
No, excuse me, 1990. Sorry.
Yeah. Huh. OJ fundraiser.
OJ fundraiser in Los Angeles.
Touchdowns for life.
whoa, wait.
for life in prison? Wait.
What was it? I'm confused.
Can I do that speech if I go there where I go, look, in no way do I condone the actions of the man, but
helping a lot of kids.
I'm going to auction off Shaq's shoe, and let's see how much money we can put in his pockets, people. I like the butt.
Yeah.
And by the way, I like the one you no way condone this, but you're there.
We're here.
We're working for Klan rallies as well. Like, look, I don't appreciate what these people are doing. Hold on, let me get off my horse.
Here.
Someone hold my torch. I got something to say.
Oh.
Tommy Davidson. Maybe they first met on that airplane with me,
mm-hmm.
and then they spun it off into this.
That'd make you feel so much worse.
Well, how does it work? Like, what if Jim Brown called you, Thomas, and like, hey, man, what are you doing Saturday?
We gotta make some money for OJ.
No, just said, what are you doing Saturday?
Oh, I'm all right. People do this, by the way. You gotta be very careful because people will do this. They'll be like, hey, are you free March 4th?
Right.
And you're like, yeah. They're like, oh, great. You're gonna introduce like nine people at this fucking thing you do not want to do.
Right.
But they didn't tell you that till after you just said you were free.
I hate that.
It drives me crazy.
Right. Oh, and can I get Ben Stiller's number from you, by the way? As long as we're talking.
This happened to me.
Power here.
I got emailed accidentally. I got an email chain. I had to present an award to somebody. And I got the email chain of the other five people they wanted before me.
Oh, yeah. Only five?
It was only five.
Wow.
I was a solid six spot.
They're big stars.
Oh, God. If there had been somebody in the state, that would have really killed me. No, there was your Tina Fey's. There your Amy Poehler's.
Michael Ian Black.
Nobody from the state. There was nobody from the state. Because otherwise, that would have been the end. That'd be the end.
Right. We can't do that.
Yeah.
There are things you do, especially presentation stuff or whatever, where you absolutely know they went through everybody before they got to you. Was my name on there? Oh, fingers.
No, it's probably no. Very close coming up behind.
Don't make us go, Corolla.
All right. Did we bring it home?
We did.
There we go. Thomas Lennon, Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich. You can check it out on video on demand.
Dog Days is out now, which is the great one. You're getting into it.
August 17th is The Littlest Reich as Puppet Master. And then Dog Days in theaters everywhere. And now co-stars Eva Longoria and Rob Corddry. Directed by Ken Marino.
Yes. It's a really funny movie.
It looks sweet. I've seen the spots on the commercial TV.
You like it? Like dogs, you'll like it.
I will. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. We're going to coming up in Seattle at the Moore Theater, September 13th. Great Moore Theater. Come see us. Adam Ray will be up on stage with us. We're doing live shows all over the place. So go to AdamCarolla.com. We've got these great guests like Rob Riggle's going to be up there and Dr. Drew will be with us and all that. So go to AdamCarolla.com for more of that. Also, listen to The Good Life with Stevie and Suzanne. And that is on Podcast One. And that is also found on Apple Podcasts as well. Go there and check it out. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Thomas Lennon and Gina Grad and Paul Mercurio and Paul Bryan saying mahalo.
You can tell your man. I envy him.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Then come out and see us at the Ice House August 29th. Tickets at AdamCarolla.com.